Welcome, welcome, welcome back to They Made Their Way to the Ring. It's 2024. It's a new year. It's a new start. Out with the old and in with the new, they say. I don't know who they are, but it's what they say. We're about ready for that statement to ring true here too. But before we bring in the new, we've got some loose ends to tie up. It's the end of this chapter, which boasted another 11 popular episodes. I talked stars like Eva Marie, Rosa Mendez, Mandy Rose, Dana Brooke, Saraya, Tori Wilson, and of course had my special 1 year anniversary episode, which featured my first ever interview. Yes, I was interviewed. If you haven't already checked these out, head over to my profile on X for all the artwork, links and more. So, as I was saying, shortly begins season 3. It's going to deliver banger after banger after banger after banger after... Yeah, I know you got it. I got some great female wrestling stars lined up for that. But back to today, back to this final experience of season 2, and we're here again. For the last time this season, this is They Made Their Way to the Ring. Today, I'm talking a super athlete whose in-ring performances are quite frankly out of this world. An athlete which hailed, we were told, from a completely different planet, Planet Funk. A woman who has a natural gift inside the squared circle, a total diva, a SmackDown Women's Champion, a WWE Women's Tag Team Champion, a superstar who quit WWE in some quite unexpected and controversial fashion, but has since gone on to take the wrestling world by storm. A talent so nice, I'll have to introduce her twice. Here it goes. Making her way to the ring, from Orlando, Florida, Naomi! I want to say again, you all know my aim is to shine the biggest, brightest spotlight on women's wrestling that I can, to celebrate these entertainers and all they've achieved, and in this podcast, in this episode, I want you to feel my glow. I'm going to begin this by briefly running it back to August 2009. WWE signed a new talent to its developmental brand, FCW. In a 1 year down in developmental, Trinity was debuted a face under the ring name Naomi. She was soon transitioned to a heel, but then became so over with the crowd, she was reverted back to a face. In June the following year, she became Florida Divas Champion when she beat Serena in the finals of the Crown and Tournament, and as if that wasn't enough, then entered a high-profile feud with the Queen of FCW, AJ Lee. And the pair would face each other in a champion versus crown winner-takes-all match in the 100th episode of FCW. The match ended in a double count-out when the Lumberjills broke up the fight, which spilled to the outside of the ring. In December, AJ beat Naomi for the Florida Divas Championship, and her time in FCW was pretty much done. Now, in episode 21, Rosa Mendez, I mentioned that in 2010, the Extreme Era ECW ended and a new era would begin, the era of NXT. With season 1 and 2 already a huge success, finding the next big thing in the men's division, it was only fair to shake things up in the Divas division. Sure, we had the Raw Divas like Eve, the Bellas, Maryse and Melina. We had the SmackDown Divas like Beth Phoenix, Michelle McCool, Layla and Maria. But WWE felt it was time to inject some new blood into the roster. This was NXT Season 3, an all-women's season of NXT. We'd seen the Diva Search in earlier years. Was this the future? Was this the next success plan? What did this mean? Well, business was picking up. We were introduced to rookies AJ, Oksana, Jamie, Caitlin, Maxine and Naomi. The idea was that each rookie would be managed by a pro and compete in weekly contests until all but one would be eliminated, leaving the winner with a WWE contract, becoming the new Est WWE Diva. But one noticeable change, unlike her male counterparts in the first two seasons, this winner wouldn't earn a championship match of her choosing, the only remaining title, the Divas Championship. Remember, this was 2010, the Divas still didn't get much TV time, but it still felt huge. It felt like an evolution. Naomi's pro was Kelly Kelly. Now, I'm not saying it didn't work, because it clearly did. And I'm certainly throwing no shade to Kelly. I'm just saying, for me personally, I'd have liked to have seen Melina or Eve as Naomi's pro, someone who could match her skill set. It was obvious from the beginning the crowd were behind this new group of talent. They'd longed for this sort of competition. As fans, we fought for more TV time for the women, and this was a new experience. We got to see some new blood, but also the pros, the divas. The crowd got behind the women. We saw AJ doing her thing. We had Oksana mixing it up with Goldust, getting married, getting divorced, getting slapped around by Maryse. We had Caitlyn play the role of the wild child going against a pro Vicky Guerrero. I mean, she was right to do so in the end. It was comedy gold. And Naomi and Kelly got to mix it up with Lay Cool at the height of their Divas Division takeover. NXT was what the fans of women's wrestling wanted. I'm representing the alliteration strong style here. Speaking of strong, Naomi was a powerful black woman. She was a super athlete. She was quick, she was focused, and she had the brightest fringe in all of WWE. She went on to finish in second place, runner-up to winner Caitlyn. Naomi would make her main roster debut in January 2012 as a... Are you ready for it? A cheerleader for a repackaged Brodus Clay. Hailing from Planet Funk, I know. Naomi would be introduced as a Funkadactyl alongside Cameron. I say oh no because I remember seeing what Naomi could do on NXT TV. I saw her become the FCW Women's Champion, and I remember thinking surely WWE couldn't waste her talent in this ridiculous role. And they did. But luckily, not for long. In December of 2012, the next pay-per-view stop was TLC. Naomi's debut match took place on the pre-show. It was a Divas Santa's Little Helper Battle Royal, where the winner would earn a Divas Championship match later on that night. What a debut match. What a win. What an opportunity. Naomi didn't manage to pick up two wins that night, as the champion Eve took care of business, defeating the challenger in a relatively short match. The pair seemed evenly matched in size, height and strength, both equally boasting an impressive arsenal of moves. Naomi taunted Eve mid-match after delivering a massive leg drop, followed by a rear view, sending the champion to the outside. Naomi looked to be making short work of Eve, but the champion came back fighting. After a failed diving crossbody, Eve capitalised with a neckbreaker and 1, 2, 3. Eve remained champion and Naomi lost, but her talent had been discovered on the big stage. In March 2013, Cameron and Naomi entered a feud with the returning Bellas, Brie and Nikki, on SmackDown. This began with a backstage attack when the twins wanted to introduce themselves, but it was mostly centered around the male superstars both sets of divas associated themselves with. Back on Raw on July the 15th, Naomi and Brie were set to go one-on-one. This match was no doubt put in place to plug the newest product in WWE, Total Divas. The reality show centered around the lives of some hand-picked women in WWE, both inside and outside the ring. This match would be Naomi's first singles win on the main roster. Skipping forward a month to August 2013, August the 26th, remember I said it's a date I'll never forget, and something strange happened. Total Divas was a huge success, and it felt like the Bellas would have to begin a face turn so Raw could present AJ Lee versus the Total Divas. This was when the pipe bomb to end all pipe bombs hit our screens. You remember the one. I've covered it before and I'll do it one more time. AJ came to the stage and said, "Do you want to know what I see when I look inside that ring? A bunch of cheap, interchangeable, expendable, useless women. Women who turned to reality television because they just weren't gifted enough to be actresses. And they just weren't talented enough to be champion. I've done more in 1 year than all of you have done in your entire collective careers. I have saved your Divas division. I have shattered glass ceilings. I have broken down doors. Why? So a bunch of stiff, plastic mannequins can waltz on through without even as much as a thank you? You guys can't even go backstage and shake my hand and look me in the eye because you know that I worked my entire life to get here. I gave my life for this and you were just handed your 15 minutes of fame. I didn't get here because I was cute, or because I came from some famous wrestling family, or because I sucked up to the right people. I got here because I'm good. I earned this championship. You are all worthless excuses for women, and you will never be able to touch me. And that is reality." I'm good at these promos, right? Oh, that was me asking you. That wasn't AJ seeking approval. Now, skipping forward past Survivor Series where Naomi was part of Team Total Divas, past a legitimate injury where in a match against Oksana on Raw, the Lithuanian dropped the knee on Naomi's face, fracturing the orbital bone. Yeah, past all of that, Naomi's first believable feud was with her former partner, Cameron. Those girls fought like girls on a drunken Saturday night. There was hair and fists flying all over the ring. This moment had been teased already. We had seen a somewhat breakdown between the women on Total Divas, where Cameron gloated a win over Naomi on a race car track, and it got a little bit physical. The boss, Stephanie McMahon, was not pleased, as we saw in the show. She reminded the pair they were first and foremost WWE Divas. They represented a brand and a company, and their actions simply wouldn't be tolerated. Stephanie later granted this tag team the disband that they desperately wanted. But back to the beginning, this stemmed from right before WrestleMania. Naomi and Cameron both received their first WrestleMania moments when they each had a chance to become new Divas Champion when it was AJ Lee versus The World. The Vicky Guerrero Divas Championship Invitational on the Raw before the grandest stage of them all was set, Vicky came out after AJ's match with a feud in Naomi. She revealed Naomi would get her rematch with AJ at WrestleMania. Naomi looked so happy. Then, Vicky revealed Cameron would also be in the match. Cameron obviously overcome with excitement, but Naomi didn't look too pleased. The cracks were showing. Vicky then announced each diva on the main roster as AJ's opponents, who in turn came to the stage. It would in fact be Naomi who took the loss via submission, and AJ retained, which surprised me. Naomi being one of the most athletic divas on the roster, I hadn't imagined would be the one to tap out to the Black Widow. I predicted maybe Emma or Rosa Mendez, maybe even Summer Rae to take the loss, but Naomi, that surprised me. So from here, to begin the feud, Naomi and Cameron would team up to take on new Divas champion AJ Lee and Paige, the Frenemies, on the July 7th, 2014 episode of Raw. Both teams had issues. Both teams had a lack of respect and trust for their partners. This couldn't end well. Cameron didn't want to get involved. She would stand on the apron applying her makeup while Naomi took a beatdown. She eventually tagged herself in and took a brutal page turner. As the bell rang, the Funkadactyls began to argue. Naomi asked, "Why didn't you tag me?" Then Cameron did it. She laid hands on a former partner. Poking a well-manicured finger into the forehead of Naomi, Naomi snapped. They got nose to nose. They shoved back and forth, then down to the mat they went. Hair pulling, punching, even the ref couldn't break this up. Like I said, drunken Saturday night fights. I remember thinking this fight looked real. It would then seem Cameron would go on to play the heel and do the dirty work of the authority, but where did Naomi go? Well, the pair met on the pre-show of Battleground where Naomi picked up the win and the feud would continue, but somewhat in the background. There was already the Paige and AJ feud over the Divas title ongoing and the massive story of Stephanie McMahon versus Brie Bella. So it was happening, but it wasn't gathering speed. I really wish they'd held off for this story until there was a clear schedule. It had potential. The history made this rivalry all the more enjoyable. We were invested. But still, there were plenty more coming Naomi's way when later in the year at Survivor Series, she not only accomplished one goal by eliminating Cameron from the match, but a second when she eliminated Paige, picking up the win for her team. In April of 2015 came a heel turn nobody saw coming. The WWE Universe, the Diva fans, well, we were all treated to one of my favourite kinds of matches, a number one contender Divas Battle Royal, which was hosted in my home country, the United Kingdom. Eight Divas had the chance to be named the next challenger for the longest reigning Divas champion. An interesting moment in Paige's entrance was Naomi's face. Cameron looked unimpressed. Foxy didn't even look her way, but Naomi, she looked to show respect towards Paige, my homegirl. Naomi was smiling. Paige won the Battle Royal after she eliminated Naomi. Congratulations, Paige. But that wasn't it. Byron Saxton entered the ring to interview the winner when absolutely out of nowhere came Naomi and one hell of a beatdown on Paige, much to the amusement of the Bellas. Naomi took Paige to the mat and then speared her through the ropes and a series of attacks ensued. It was Paige versus the Barricade. Naomi always served as a heel. The following months would see a storyline unfold around Paige, Naomi and the Bellas. A returning Tamina then joined the fold when she aligned herself with Naomi and the pair went after the Bellas. Weeks went by and nobody could touch the twins. They ruled the division. Paige tried to rally the Divas on an episode of SmackDown, but nobody stepped forward to help. Nikki said, "Paige might say this is her house, but she's living in the Bella's world. On July the 13th, 2015, Stephanie McMahon made history. The Bellas, along with Foxy, ran Monday Night Raw. They ran SmackDown. The Divas division was over, and Team Bella was untouchable. Stephanie came to the ring to break up Team Bella's promo on Raw. Nikki said, "On November the 23rd of last year, I beat AJ Lee and became your WWE Divas champion. And for the past 232 days, I've defended this title against every single challenger. I've given every single diva a chance. I am the definition of fearless. I am the total diva. Team Bella have all the power and we are unstoppable. We run this division." Stephanie had heard enough. The principal owner came down to the ring with a purpose. Stephanie said, "I'm sorry, Nikki. The way you were talking made it seem like you run the Divas division somehow. Like you own the Divas division. Like you own WWE. Well, let me be very clear. I own WWE. Stephanie then brought out Paige, the woman trying to make a difference, because let's face it, it's time to make a change in the Divas division. Steph then called for a Divas revolution. Now, what did that mean for the landscape? Well, NXT was coming to town. Becky Lynch and Charlotte were called up to join Paige and create Team PCB. They would be the Bellas' new problem. But someone, or rather a couple of Divas, took issue with this. Naomi and Tamina. I mean, quite rightly, they played a huge part in the making of this. "Hold up," Naomi said. "Wait a minute. We have unfinished business with the Bellas and with Paige." Steph said she was glad that they came out here, as someone else feels the same way you do. Someone else who isn't afraid to stand up for themselves and to seize that opportunity, to seize that moment. Someone who calls herself the boss, and she is the current NXT Women's Champion, Sasha Banks. Then, Team Bad was born and chaos ensued. Both of the new teams stepped to the Bellas and Foxy, and the segment brawl ended with all three of the NXT talent with a main roster diva in a submission hold. This was magic. Team Bad disbanded on February the 1st, 2016 when Sasha left the group, but Naomi and Tamina didn't let her leave quietly. In April 2016, right before WrestleMania 32, Team Bad was temporarily expanded. It became Team Bad and Blonde, one of my favourite factions. Lana was looking for an in-ring debut after a series of attacks on Brie Bella, and a debut she got. Albeit on the pre-show, but no other woman had received a WrestleMania main roster debut at this point. Team Bad and Blonde, Lana, Emma, Summer Rae, Tamina and Naomi lost to Team Total Divas, Alicia Fox, Natalya, Brie Bella, Paige and Eva Marie in a 10 diva tag team match. A fantastic match, but my only problem, I'm a big Lana CJ Perry stan, and for her to have such a big story build and a WrestleMania debut but have no payoff, it just didn't seem the right finish. Bad and Blonde lost the match. I guess you can't have it all. I'd still recommend you check it out. All the women killed it, and to be honest, it should have had a place on the main card, in my opinion. In 2016, Naomi was drafted to SmackDown. She debuted a new look and entrance, a neon look. She wanted us to feel her glow. Naomi established herself during this time against a new roster of women and a new crop of talent called up from NXT on a rebranded show. This was SmackDown Live. 2017 would be Naomi's year. She returned from 2 months of inactivity, confronting then-champion Alexa Bliss. Naomi would challenge the champion at Elimination Chamber and would pick up a first women's championship in WWE. She became the first African-American woman to hold the SmackDown Women's Championship. What a piece of history to own. Sadly, the celebration was cut short. The following week, Naomi relinquished the championship due to a legitimate injury she sustained during the match. On April the 2nd, 2017, Naomi was back, not only for a chance to recapture the title, but it was on the grandest stage, WrestleMania 33, and in her hometown of Orlando, Florida. Naomi did what she said she would do. She beat Alexa Bliss and became a two-time SmackDown Women's Champion. Naomi then entered a small feud with my favourite and the SmackDown debutant Lana. The ravishing one went after the top woman on the roster, as you should if you want to make a name for yourself. Lana impressed in a match at Money in the Bank against the champion Naomi, but came up short. After two more failed attempts, it was time Naomi had a new challenger, the Queen of Hearts, Natalya. Naomi's championship run ended at 140 days when Natalya made the champion tap out at SummerSlam. I have to admit, I was happy with the title change. Naomi's run was refreshing, but how can you not want to see Natalya as champ? She deserves it more than most. In 2018, Naomi took part in the first ever Women's Royal Rumble match. What can I say? Naomi Kingston, right? Naomi entered at number 20, lasting 6 minutes and 49 seconds before being eliminated successfully the second time by the monster Nia Jax. I love the Rumbles, I love the returns, I love the stories and moments that go back years. And right before Naomi entered the match, at number 19 came Kelly Kelly, the mentor of Naomi on the original all-women's version of NXT. Naomi went after her old pro Kelly and took her down with the rear view. In fact, in that moment, Naomi was in there with Sasha, her old Team Bad partner, and Natalya, the woman who dethroned Naomi as champ. Nia Jax entered the match at number 22 and cleared the field, dumping woman after woman over the top rope. Naomi decided to run head-on into the irresistible force, and for doing so, she was thrown over the top rope herself. But she was caught by the other women ringside, some eliminated, some who went under or through the ropes. Naomi climbed the barricade, Kofi Kingston style. The fans popped. They were loving this innovative segment. Naomi balanced her way along the barricade, shouted to guest ring announcer Maria Menounos to move, wheeled her way using her hands and the chair to the steel steps, and up to the top turnbuckle she went. The crowd went wild. Naomi was still in this. And then she wasn't. After a failed diving crossbody, Nia caught in midair and threw her right over the top rope again, and the glow was faded to darkness. However, all wasn't lost because at WrestleMania 34, Naomi came back strong. She entered the inaugural WrestleMania Women's Battle Royal. We had Lillian Garcia return for a special ring announcing. We had Hall of Famer Beth Phoenix and the injured superstar Paige on commentary, and 19 superstars from Raw, SmackDown, and NXT. I'm not going to lie, this cup was ugly. They really could have done better with that. But still, a win is a win. Well done, Naomi. 2 straight WrestleMania wins in the bag. The next couple of years are passed by. I'd previously covered the great feud she had with Mandy Rose on her respective episode. She'd been part of several drafts between Raw and SmackDown, had more Rumble appearances, but one feud I wanted to briefly touch on was the feud with Sonya Deville, which began in late 2021. And what a feud that was. Sonya had returned after a hiatus from the company, which came around after she lost a Loser Leaves match with Mandy Rose. Sonya was back and made it clear to her peers and the women's locker room that if the suit was on, she was the boss. If the jacket came off, she would fight. Naomi found herself on the wrong side of the boss when week after week she would ask for some competition. Just a match. She came to SmackDown to fight. Sonya, obviously irritated by this, laid hands on Naomi more than once. But the worst thing was, when Sonya wore the jacket, which she very rarely removed, Naomi couldn't fight back. If she did, she would be fired. In January 2022, Naomi finally got some payback at the Rumble. Sonya declared herself an entrant, and one of the surprise returns was Naomi's former tag partner Cameron. Sonya sat at the announce desk and told the team she would enter on her terms, when the time was right. Cameron made her entrance at number 13, and Sonya questioned if the girls were friends. Would Naomi be upset if something happened to her? Waiting patiently, like a lion watching its prey, she waited for Cameron to turn around after battling Natalya, and she entered the ring and took out Cameron with a vicious attack. Right before Naomi came out at number 14, Cameron was thrown over the top rope and eliminated in true heel fashion. I have to admit, I wanted to see Cameron's return from here, or at least a tag match where the Funkadactyls would reunite and seek revenge. Naomi's turn came to enter the match and she looked mad. She made a quick stop ringside to check on Cameron before entering the match and going wild on the GM of SmackDown. The pair eliminated each other from the match and the fight spilled to the outside. It took the refs to break this up. I was seated for this. Now, in April 2022, WrestleMania came around once more. WrestleMania 38, Naomi's last WrestleMania. Unless things change, of course. You know what I'm talking about. Forbidden Doors and all that. This was Naomi's 8th WrestleMania match, and 3rd where she'd won something more than just a match. 2017, she won the SmackDown Women's title. 2018, the WrestleMania Women's Battle Royal Cup, and 2022, the Women's Tag Team Championships. She teamed with former Team Bad member The Boss, Sasha Banks, and they defeated Liv Morgan and Rhea Ripley, Natalya and Shayna Baszler, and tag champions Carmella and Zelina Vega in a fatal four-way tag match. This run lasted only 46 days, so the big question, why? Why such a short run for two of the company's top stars? Well, on May the 16th, 2022, a six-pack challenge match was scheduled for the main event of Monday Night Raw. The match would feature Nikki A.S.H., Doudrop, Becky Lynch, Asuka, and the WWE Women's Tag Team Champions Naomi and Sasha Banks. The winner would earn a Raw Women's Championship match. Now, two reasons I found this matchup strange. Naomi and Sasha were tag champs, so surely they shouldn't have featured in this match. Surely they should have had a rivalry separate to this and been setting up future tag team matches. But secondly, why would the tag champs be placed in a match where it's every woman for herself with such high stakes involved and a prize on the line? Were the tag champs being seen as nothing more than gap fillers, or had they realised after putting the belts on the pair that each of them were bigger than the tag division? Well, we didn't get to find out as the main event match was changed to a singles match between Becky Lynch and Asuka, and reports and headlines dominated social media. Naomi and Sasha had walked out of WWE. This was a story for the ages, a moment that would write itself into the history books. This bold move from the pair left not only the tag division, but the entire women's division in chaos. Rumours were speculated all week long. Many people questioned, myself included, was this, you know, was it legit? Was it for storyline purposes? Just what was going on? WWE addressed the situation days later on SmackDown when Michael Cole gave a statement. He said, "Switching gears, I want to talk about what happened this past Monday night on Raw when Sasha Banks and Naomi let us all down." The WWE Women's Tag Team Champions walked out of the show and out of the building during Monday Night Raw. They were supposed to take part in the main event, a six-pack challenge match where the winner would be next in line to face Bianca Belair for the Raw Women's Championship. However, Sasha and Naomi took the Tag Team Championships into the Office of Our Talent Relations, left them there, and then promptly walked out of the arena. Their actions disappointed millions of WWE fans and their fellow superstars. So, because of what they did this past Monday night, they have been suspended indefinitely. Now, first off, I remember thinking, wow, this is legit. It happened. The IWC was up in arms. Speculations and accusations were thrown around, but Naomi and Sasha seemed to disappear off the face of the earth. No comments, no posts. We got some social media handle changes, but that was it. We were left quite literally in the dark. I had one word. One small word which became a big question. Why? Something was off. Something must have happened. Why were two of the top stars, two stars who hold gold within the biggest wrestling company, simply up and leave? Trinity spoke with Busted Open Radio in October last year and she explained what had happened. She put it quite simply, short and sweet. She said, "I left that day because of the way I was talked to and handled. It had nothing to do with anything or anyone else, but that was just it. I had to." Now, if you followed her career, you would have known that before this interview came around, Trinity had laced up those boots once again. She rediscovered her glow and she was killing it inside the ring. Only this time, she wasn't Naomi. She hadn't headed for AEW like many people thought. No, this time, she took a leap. A big leap. And she arrived in Impact Wrestling, now TNA. So, once again, it's actually becoming a trend on this podcast. For the second time in this episode, making her way to the ring from Orlando, Florida, Trinity! In May 2023, almost 1 year after a shock departure which sent shockwaves around the wrestling world, Trinity was back, right where she belonged. The fans inside the Impact Arena went wild for her arrival. They chanted her name. They chanted "Welcome back." She said she was happy to be here, in a place where she can glow, that this company has the most storied women's division in wrestling. From the beginning, she said, the Knockouts division has been the place to be for fierce competition. Now, remember, if you've listened to my earlier episodes, I made a bold statement. I said you could argue that the women's evolution started way back in TNA. The Knockouts division was way ahead of its time. Way, way ahead of the Divas division. Trinity said she wanted a piece of it. She said she's talking fierce women like Awesome Kong, Gail Kim, the legendary Mickey James, Deonna Purrazzo, and the talented Jordan Grace. She reminded the crowd that they've seen her win championships, but she's here to win more. So knockouts, get ready girls, because the brightest star in this here galaxy is ready to shine. Trinity stated she came to Impact to make an impact, and she's here for the Knockouts World Championship. Then, of course, out came the virtuosa, the Knockouts World Champion, Deonna Purrazzo. Deonna welcomed Trinity to Impact, but warned her she wasn't walking into any Impact Wrestling. She's walking into the new age of the virtuosa. Then came the WWE dig. That had to be one, right? And I loved it. Deonna said, "If you get a shot at my title, and I really hope you do, let me make one thing perfectly clear. When you step in the ring with the virtuosa Deonna Purrazzo, that's nothing that you can just walk out on." Ooh, she referenced the walkout. She came swinging tonight. The crowd were loving it. They were getting their popcorn ready. Trinity took her time before responding. She wasn't having that. With her face, she said, "Bitch, what?" Then actually said, "Oh, you gonna come at me like that, huh? Alright, well, allow me to return the favour. I'll have you know that when you step in the ring with me, you're gonna wish you got fired again." This segment was given over 12 minutes. 12 minutes of TV time. The biggest wrestling promotion out there, WWE, aren't even giving their women 12-minute matches. Now, before I get into some of these matches, on an interesting side note, Impact had already released merch. A new t-shirt was shown on screen during a debut, and they put the women's title on it just a couple of months into her starting with the company. If that doesn't scream belief, I don't know what does. It took WWE 7 years before Naomi was given the gold, 7 years from a debut, or 5 years from a main roster debut, but still, what a difference. 2 weeks after her impressive first appearance, on May the 18th, Trinity arrived for her in-ring debut. Her first taste of Impact's competition came in the form of one half of then Knockouts Tag Team Champions, representing the Coven, Kai Lynn King. This was a singles match that allowed Trinity to remind us all how good she really is. She overcame some outside interference from Taylor Wilde and made her opponent tap out to the Starstruck, her finishing submission move. On her debut, she beat a champion. Trin's next challenge on her way to the Knockouts World Championship was at Under Siege, Impact's pay-per-view. Her challenger, the quintessential diva, Giselle Shaw. These two athletes, I think, really bring out the best in each other. It's a matchup I didn't know I needed. Giselle always entertains, and having Trin and Impact just feels so fresh. It works. So I'm going to crunch these numbers now. It only took 6 matches to earn her a Knockouts World Championship match. She beat champion Deonna at the Slammiversary pay-per-view on July the 15th of last year. Trinity became champion on her very first attempt. In her 7th match at a 3rd pay-per-view appearance, she became our new Knockouts World Champion. 7 matches. It took WWE 7 years. Since beating Deonna, Trin defended a title the following month at Emergence in a rematch with the former champ, but the end result was the same. In September, Trin then defeated Alicia Edwards at Victory Road. Honestly. One moment I wanted to talk about was a huge milestone for Impact. Impact 1000, or the 1000th episode of Impact. This boasted the biggest Knockouts tag team match in Impact history. So before the match was announced, we had a little bit of storytelling. Let me tell you a little bit of what happened. Little bit. So Gail Kim, the TNA Impact legend, was already in the ring showcasing the event and a best of the Knockouts over the years package. The Beautiful People's music hit and out came a returning Angelina Love and Velvet Sky. I mean, we couldn't have Impact 1000 without those two, right? They circled Gail and questioned whether, you know, that was really the best video package she could show on the Knockouts division over the year. Angelina said all she saw was ugly people, like the ugly standing in front of her right now. Gail threatened to do more than just talk, and out came Giselle Shaw. She welcomed the Beautiful People back to Impact and said without them, there would be no quintessential diva. She said they paved the way for Knockouts like her, but she has taken their spot and improved on it. What seemed like an unfair 3-on-1 situation soon became a verbal triple threat. Out to even the odds came Jordan Grace. She claimed she wasn't from Giselle's generation, rather Giselle was from her generation. She then said there's two constants in every generation. The first, the great, ODB, Tara, Tracy Brooks, and the amazing Gail Kim. Unfortunately for everyone, the other constant is the annoying bitches. And with that, the next knockout made her way to the ring, Deonna Purrazzo. Jordan quickly said, "I assume you're here to help represent the annoying bitches." Deonna said, "Actually, I'm here to represent my generation. Certainly not yours, Giselle." It seemed the heel team weren't all on the same page yet. She said, "If my memory serves me correctly, the new age, the age of the virtuosa, began when I beat you, Jordan, for the Knockouts World Championship." Out next came the only one who could call herself the champion, Trinity. She was glowing, literally. Trinity, soaking up the crowd's welcoming chants, said, "I respect each and every one of you in this ring because you've all paved the way for me in your own ways. But respectfully, I am the knockout who's currently blazing a trail for the future because I am in my moment." Deonna stepped to Trin and said, "I am so glad that you're proud of your one measly title reign. Come find me when you've had three." Gail then stepped up saying, "And Deonna, you can come find me when you've had seven." With that one sentence, Deonna had been admitted to the burns unit. She got burned real bad with that. Out next came the awesome one, the monster, Awesome Kong. Raisha Saeed talked some crap, then out came Tasha Steelz. "Cut my music," she said. "You can't have Impact 1000. You can't talk the history of the Knockouts without the history maker, Tasha Steelz." She climbed the ropes and declared herself the fifth member of Team Beautiful People, Giselle Shaw, Savannah Evans, and of course my girl, Deonna Purrazzo. But hold up, who was the fifth member for the opposing team? Oh, that's right, Hardcore Country, the wrestling legend and 11-time women's world champion, Mickey James. Sounding a little more southern than usual, Mickey said, "By the looks of it, I don't need to come out here and remind you of who I am and what I've done. Hardcore Country is back. I'm officially the fifth member of Champ Trinity, Gail Kim, Jordan Grace, and the awesomest of Kong in a team I like to call Team Over." This match was a banger. All the Knockouts, both past, present, and future, really showed up and showed out. They sold out. They reminded the wrestling world that not only is Impact on the map, but they are taking over. If you've not seen this match already, then go and watch it. We all love us some nostalgia. One thing I took away, one thing that really stole my attention, was the way Mickey held Trinity's arm. And her focus was all about that championship. Was she about to become a 12-time world champion? Since that huge moment, Trinity has gone on to defend against the WWE and Knockouts legend Mickey James. This was the first time they stood toe-to-toe in the ring, and the prize was the Knockouts World Championship. Bound for Glory was the pay-per-view, and the match was incredible. Again, I don't want to give away any spoilers. Mickey and Trin killed it. A pair that I hope cross paths at least once more before Mickey hangs up those boots. Trinity's last title defense was on the October the 9th UK Invasion Tour Turning Point. Gail returned to be the special guest referee for this match, and Trinity successfully retained. And just last year, she ranked number 23 in the 2023 Women's PWI list. Impressive. So, to start rounding this out, Naomi, or Trinity, whichever way you look at it, is a 5-time Women's World Champion. 5 times she's represented a major promotion and held gold. Looking back, it was a strange time for Naomi when she came up to the main roster. It was all about AJ, Caitlin, Layla and Eve. Then the Bellas and Paige took over. Then in came the Divas Revolution and NXT came up. And yeah, Naomi was in the mix for most of these moments, but she was never really positioned at the top, in my opinion. That, I find a shame. There's no doubt she's a super athlete. Could she have done more given the chance? What has TNA got in store for the champion going forward? Well, the rumours are Trinity's TNA contract is up soon. And my question for you, where do you see her going? AEW, WWE. Well, here's my take. I can't see her becoming an AEW star anytime soon. It doesn't feel right for me. I don't know the reason, it just doesn't. Maybe AEW hasn't got the star power yet. I mean, yeah, they have Timeless Tony, they have Saraya, they have Britt Baker, they've now acquired Deonna, and they have their homegrown talent, but it doesn't feel a good fit to me. A WWE return, however, that does. Imagine the potential matches, the dream matches. Bianca Belair or Jade Cargill, maybe the three could be a faction. Have you thought about that? A tag run with a return in Mercedes Moné. Tag run 2.0. Who knows? She could run it back with Natalya, Alexa Bliss, maybe a return in Mickie James. WWE just feels right. Okay, so it's poll time. I asked you all on X, what was your favourite Naomi feud? The options were Cameron, Sonya Deville, Team Bad versus Team PCB versus Team Bella, or other, and to comment a preferred answer. The results came in, and surprisingly, 62% of you voted for the Divas Revolution, Bad versus PCB versus Bella. I mean, yeah, it was a momentous occasion. It was history in the making, but I really expected it to be the Sonya Deville feud. Either way, I enjoyed all of them. The next poll I put out there, sort of capping off what I just talked about, was when Trinity's contract is up, where would you like to see her go? Remain in TNA, debut in AEW, or return to WWE? 68% of you said return to WWE. The fans have spoken, Triple H. Within her time in WWE, Naomi accomplished a lot. She won 3 championships, made history as the only African-American SmackDown Women's Champion, won a championship at WrestleMania, took part in 8 seasons of Total Divas, was involved in the first and only female season of NXT, was the first WrestleMania Battle Royal winner, was predominantly a babyface, had a custom glowing championship belt, won a Slammy Award, was in the first all-women's pay-per-view Evolution, had 3 Money in the Bank ladder matches, appeared in 7 WWE games as a playable character, and appeared in 5 Women's Royal Rumble matches, creating magic in her eliminations. Okay, so I always ask the question, the Hall of Fame. Does Naomi deserve a Hall of Fame spot? Okay, so an interesting one. Given everything that happened, can you see Naomi being inducted? So my take, the hot take, is it depends on one thing. If she returns, how would that return be handled? If she comes back and is treated, you know, like Bianca Belair or Rhea Ripley or even Becky Lynch, the top stars in WWE, and is right back into title contention, breaking down doors, having those groundbreaking moments, then yeah, I can see it happening. I can see them glazing over that big crack, because what she did before she left and what she could do if she returns could be enough to put together and create a big success story. But if they bring her back and teach her some tough love, tie her into a contract and have her become stagnant again, then no. But with Triple H now in charge, I think it's something he will learn from, and I think everyone can grow from that moment in 2022. Well, 67% of you feel the same way. You all said yes, Naomi does deserve a spot with the Elite. It's nice to see we have some fans in the house. So guys, that's it. That's the end of season 2. We're here. All in all, 23 episodes of They Made Their Way to the Ring have been comprised and released to the world. I've talked some of the biggest names of women's wrestling. Names like Trish Stratus, Victoria, Tori Wilson, Melina, Beth Phoenix, The Bellas, Natalya and Saraya. I never thought I would reach over 500 streams. 520 at the time of this recording. I never thought I'd be given 5-star ratings or be heard in 26 countries across the world. I never thought I'd exchange DMs and have reposts from the divas of wrestling, names like Natalya, Cherry and Maria Kanellis. I didn't think from a small town in the UK I could create this. This journey has been hard. I'm 13 months in and I now feel like it's only getting started. Last month I released a special episode, a 1-year anniversary of the podcast. I gave my first interview and I would love to do more. I manifest success for my work each day and I'm so grateful for everyone who has made this possible. From my cover art designer to the man who interviewed me for my show, to all of you that listen at home, I am beyond thankful for you. Right now, I'm planning season 3. I want the episodes to remain informative, to keep shining that spotlight I bring to women's wrestling, and to keep my old listeners and gain many, many new ones along the way. If you have any ideas of characters for season 3, or any thoughts, or you just want to give feedback or discuss my work, you can DM me on X. I'm at Slee_Ryan. Don't forget to tag the promotions, that's WWE, AEW, and TNA. Tag the stars on each episode you listen to. For this episode, head to X and tag Trin at TheTrinity_Fatu. Remember, if you like my ring announcing, I'm happy to lend those vocals to any promotion, interviewer, announcer, even wrestler. If anyone wants to train me, I am yours. I'll be back sometime in February, and you'll hear me next time after a very, very short break for season 3 of They Made Their Way to the Ring. Ding, ding, ding.